All right, turn with me now, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Our text last Sunday morning was verses 32 to 34. And then Brother Luke brought us a message last Sunday night from verse 31. And I said I was going to bring another one from verse 31, but I'm not. We're going to move on. I'm about to read one line to you. It's a question. But before I do, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to bless it to your heart. I want to encourage you to do that. Ask Him if He will feed you with this and comfort you with this and really let you enter into how sweet and precious this is. Verse 35, Romans 8, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, I really pondered that question in the study of it. I thought about it. I prayed about it. I really tried to enter in to what it was saying. That is a deep, deep question. And I sincerely tried to enter into what it was saying. And one of the things that I entered into was this. I don't know if I know of a sadder word and a more heartbreaking word than the word separate. Separated. Think about that word. Think about what that means. Think about what's involved in that. Separated. There are other words that are equally as devastating, no doubt about it. But of the words that describe the sorrows that this life on earth will bring to us, that word is among those at the top of the list. I know that every person here has to some degree experienced the sorrow of separation. Every person here, all the way down to the babies in the nursery as their mamas walk out the door, you know, crying for their mamas. Every person here has experienced to some degree the sorrow of separation. On November the 25th, of the year 2000, my father experienced separation from his wife. And my sisters and I experienced separation from our mother. The Lord took her. And it was sad. It was sad. We wouldn't want it any other way. None of us. I speak on behalf of all of us. It was our Lord's will. By His grace, we cry, "Not our will, but Thine be done." We would not want it any other way. But it was sad. It was very heartbreaking to go through. And I know that every person here, that's not a unique situation. Every person here, to some degree or another, in some form or another, has experienced the heartache of separation. Separation from family. Separation from close friends. Sometimes two people have to separate over the issue of the gospel. Sometimes two people who both claim to believe the gospel have to separate because the flesh got in the way. the wickedness of the flesh, the selfishness of the flesh, which can be summed up in one word, sin. And maybe two words, pride and sin. The pride of sin, the sin of pride. But whether we decide to enter into a separation or whether separation is forced on us, either way, it is always the result of sin. Death is just the wages of sin. And everything that we do in this life is attached to the consequence of sin. If we could only get a hold of how sin has affected every single thing that we do in this life. Everything. Our own sin is what has brought every form of separation that there is to us. Our own sin. That's where I want to start tonight. I want us to really see that. If we're going to truly glory in what we just read, we need to realize, just as the prophet Nathan told David, he said, "Thou art the man. I'm the man. I'm the man." We need to realize my own sin is what has brought this sorrow to me in so many forms. Every one of us has experienced and will experience the heartache of separation, and it's a product of our own sin. Let me show you that in Isaiah 59. Turn with me, if you would, over to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." That's where it all started, my own sin. He said, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." What he's saying is, thou art the man. I'm the man. You are the men and women. We brought all of this sadness and all of this sorrow on ourselves. Man wants to put all the blame on Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve did it. I did it. I did it. I brought separation from my God. The pain of it, the sorrow of it, the consequence of it, I brought all of it upon myself. And that separation from God is what has brought all of the other separations that I may endure in this life. The word separate means to place room between. It means to put asunder. It means to part. Here's what the word means. It means divorce. Such a hard word, isn't it? Verse 2 says, right here in Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have divorced you and your God." Your iniquities have put room between you and your God. How awful is that? How sad and devastating is that? But look at verse 1. It says, "Behold," I love that word, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." He said, you may have separated yourself from your God, but that doesn't mean that your God has separated Himself from you. That's wonderful to hear. You may have tried to divorce your God, but that doesn't mean your God has tried to divorce you. Now, that's all we're going to say about separation. From here on out, we're going to talk about Christ. In spite of what we have brought on ourselves, the Scripture says if we are God's chosen people, Christ has loved us with an everlasting love. Not separated Himself from us. Which that's what He should have done by our rational thinking. But that's not what He did. Not separated Himself. Loved us with an everlasting love. An everlasting love. In the vein of separation. You think about that. An everlasting love. In spite of the fact that we tried to put space between us and Him. In spite of the fact that we tried to part from Him. The Scripture says, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. In spite of the fact that we tried to lay our union down, we tried to lay down our union with Him. In spite of that, the Scripture says, greater love had no man than this. He laid down His life. We tried to lay down the union. He laid down His life. He loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. This is so beautiful. Ephesians 5. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved His wife, the church, and gave Himself for her, for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself. He is the one on the throne, and He is the one presenting His bride to the throne. Verse 27, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And Paul told us in verse 32, everything I'm telling you is a great mystery. He said, I'm talking about Christ and His bride. His love for His wife. He loves His wife as He loves Himself. Let me give you the answer. No. Can we enter into that? He loves His wife as He loves Himself. Not only has He done for her as He has done for Himself, but the truth is He did more for her than He did for Himself. He has committed His all of His love, all that He is, all that He has to her, all of it. All of it. He said, Father, in my love to her, this is what our Lord said to His Father, in my love to her because of my love for her, because of my intercession for her. Would you love her as much as you love me? That's what he said to his father. Would you love her as much as you love me? Because I love her as I love my own self. Would you love her as you love me? The father said, "Son, will you have her? And will you hold her from this day forward? Will you leave me and go down to her and cleave to her till death, so that the two of you might never part, might never be separated ever again? Son, will you do that?" This is what he said. "I will." "Son, do you promise?" Let's make a covenant here. "Do you promise to first love her and never stop loving her in spite of her sickness, in spite of her sorrow, in spite of her poverty, in spite of the fact that she will treat you like Gomer treated Hosea over and over and over again? Do you promise to love her with an eternal love?" I mean an eternal, eternal love. From eternity to eternity. This is what he said. "I do. I do." The father said, "Then by the power vested in me, I pronounce you husband and wife. You may go kiss your bride. Righteousness and peace may kiss each other." Look with me at 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," and charity means love, and love means Christ. So we're just going to say Christ's love. When we come to that, we're going to say Christ's love. Verse 1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not Christ's love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not Christ's love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not Christ's love, it profiteth me nothing. Christ's love suffers long and is kind. Christ's love envieth not. Christ's love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Christ's love bears all things. Christ's love believes all things, hopeth all things. Christ's love endures all things. Christ's love never fails. Where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and Christ's love. These three, but the greatest of these is Christ's love. All right, now let's ask our question again. Go with me back to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who shall separate us from Christ's love for us? Who shall put any room between Christ's love and us? I mean, any space. If we are the object of His love, then who can divorce us from that? Verse 35 says, "Shall tribulation, turbulent times, rocky times?" No. What about distress? Times when it feels like everything's closing in on you. What about persecution? That's being attacked, being wrongly treated. Will that draw us away from His love for us? What about famine? That means lack of something we need. Barely enough. Just barely enough, in our eyes anyway. What about, verse 35 says, nakedness? That's being exposed for what we really are. When that facade is ripped off and everybody sees us like we really are. You know, everybody tries to put on a good facade. When that's ripped away and the truth is exposed, is that going to tear us away from Christ's love for us? What about peril? Verse 35 says, that's fear of danger, fear of what's ahead. Or sword, that's battle, contention, strife. Verse 36 says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." These things are constantly coming to us. All of these things constantly coming to us. So will any of these things bring the sorrow and the heartache of separation from the love of Christ to us? Will any of them? Verse 37 says, no. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. All because He loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. All of those things are out to bring separation to us. Death, the life on this earth, the fallen angels, you know, the adversary and a third, the host of heaven, they were angels, fell out of heaven. He said, principalities, powers. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're not. A world of adversaries are trying to tear us apart from the love of Christ that He's poured onto us. A world of adversaries. But this is what Paul said. It will never happen. It will never happen. Verse 38, he said, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There may be times that we feel so far from Him. I know you feel it. I've asked you, do you ever feel that? Everybody says, yes, I know you feel it. I do too. I do too. Sometimes we feel so far from Him. But if God has caused us to believe on Him, and if His blood is our only hope, then let's never forget this right here, okay? Based on the Word of God Himself, nothing will ever be able to put space between His love and us. Nothing. I love the fact that it said able. Nothing is able. Everything's trying to. Nothing can. Nothing can put any amount of space between His love and us. In His love, we are so near. We are so near. This is what we're constantly crying. I just did it a moment ago when we prayed, okay? This is what we constantly cry. Draw us nearer. Draw us nearer. Please pull us nearer. We want to be nearer. Here's the fact of the matter. In the person of His Son, we are as near as He. What that means is we can't get any nearer. We cry and we cry and we cry, but in Christ, we can't get any nearer. If we're in Christ, we're as near as a sinner can possibly be. And if God put us in Christ, that's where we will stay forever. Forever. Us in Him, Him in the Father. Us in Him, Him in the Father. Whether we feel like we're in Him, in the Father or not, if God put us there, that's where we are. And He said, this is what He said, nothing and no one will ever be able to pluck my people out. Nothing. So, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Here's the answer. No one. No one. If God put us in the love of Christ, God won't separate us from it. And that's glorious news. He's the only one who can. If God put us in the love of Christ, and this is how we'll know, we will need Him. We will beg for Him. He will be our only hope. And if God put us in the love of Christ, God won't separate us from it. The adversary can't and won't separate us from it. And we can't and won't separate us from it. It is an unstoppable, unchangeable, unbreakable love. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'm pretty positive that's good news. I'm pretty sure that's the gospel. Yeah, that's good news. All right, let's all stand together.